Turn to Psalm 139. Let's look at Psalm 139 just for a short time of devotion. How many of you learned to knit? Oh, that many of you? Uh-oh. Is that a young person back there that knows how to knit? Okay, that's... Okay, crochet. How many of you can crochet? Okay. Yeah, I remember my mother crocheting. What's All right, we're going to... I'm sorry, that's not a very good introduction. Psalm 139. To the choir master, a psalm of David. And this is... We're just going to run through this quickly. A devotion. David's meditation on the character of God. He talks about his omniscience, his omnipresence, his providence, his wisdom, his greatness in his creation. And you'll see why I asked the first question. Let's look at this as we go. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. By the way, the word know is the key word. Five or six times God knows. One time the soul of the faithful one knows. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. There's God's omniscience, intimate, complete. You have known me. There's a sense of anticipating because he knows us. We anticipate his care because we come to know him as the God who he is. You understand my thoughts, most private thoughts, the hidden thoughts. But he understands our thoughts. Not just that he knows them, and some of your thoughts are not very noteworthy, not very pleasing, but he understands them because he knows you and he knows me. You ever have a hard time being understood? Frustrating that you get misunderstood and people take it the wrong way and they run with it and that was not your intention whatsoever? Well, the Lord knows he understands us. That's good. Verse 3, you search my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. That's an interesting phrase. You winnow out my ways. You get rid of the trash of my ways. You winnow them out, God. And you make them beneficial and useful. That's good to know, isn't it? He takes care of us. God's omniscience. He knows us. Verse 5 and 6. Even before... You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and I cannot attain it. I don't know about you, but when I read this, and I'm thinking about me, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to do tomorrow, and the Lord has me hemmed in behind and before and lays his hand on me, and that's pretty awesome to me. But he also has Jason and Craig and Sharon and Amy. He's got every one of us at the very same time. No matter where we are, no matter what goes on, he's got us hemmed in. He's got us taken care of. He's secured us. And as David says, that just kind of blows me away. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high I cannot contain it. I think about this hemming me in. Wednesday night we're going to talk about predestination and sort of the background of the Word, where God sets a boundary for you and me in our life, a pre-ordained boundary. We are hemmed in the sense that we can't get out of God's purpose. God has a purpose for each of our lives, and in that predestinating purpose, He hems us in. But at the same time, we have some freedom within that box of the within that hemming, where we make our choices, and choices have consequences. But we'll never get outside the box of His purpose for our life. And that is security to me. I don't know about you. That's security that in His providence, He has us taken care of. And that should bring about praise from us. Verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright and as the day, for darkness is as light. With you, I just have the contrast there. Where can I go? Where can I flee? You know, to heaven where life is, to Sheol where death is. He knows all about us. Nowhere can we go that nothing can happen to you that He's unaware and that He's not in control of. Nothing is outside of His reach. Nothing is outside of His sight. Is that comforting or is that fear, frightening? Is that a deterrent for you? Or the fact that He knows everything you do, everything you think, everywhere you go, is that debilitating to you? We want to know Him so that we might understand that is a comforting thought, and that is a deterrent, and that it might deter us. 13. Yeah. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. That's what made me think about knitting. My mother was a crocheter. And she would come in with this ball of stuff, yarn, and just go to it. And it'd be a while. But at some point, she would pick it up and she would set it out here and she would look at it. And there's always a gift for somebody. And then present the gift, and the person who received it would look at it. And thinking about God knitting you together in your mother's womb. But not you, also everyone else. And He is carefully knitting so He doesn't drop a stitch. And I don't want to get too, you know, mundane with our description of God. He formed our inward parts. I'm not sure. I'm thankful to God for the translators and the men that He has endowed with the knowledge of the languages. 79 out of 81 times this word formed is used, it's translated possess or purchase. So He's being the one who formed us. He informing us and knitting us together as to who we are. He possesses us. He owns us. He has purchased us. And when we come to Christ, of course, we're purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus. He's creating each of our own each of our personal existences as he knits us together. He's the ultimate cause. There's some physical causes of our who we are, but the ultimate cause, of course, is the Lord Jesus, God Almighty. And there never was a time when God was not. There was a time when we weren't, except in his mind. And that leads us to praise, should lead us to praise. I praise you, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, I am awesomely. I don't ever like to use that word. It means nothing in our society. But we are fearfully and we are wonderfully. We are distinctively made, every one of us, distinctively knit together by our God. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And don't forget, you're one of his works. Now, it's not about you. You are a wonderful work. It's about him who is the one who works wonderfully to make each one of us, to take care of us. This weaves us in the secret depths, he says. Fearfully and wonderfully made, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. You know, before our mothers knew they were even pregnant, the Lord was at work, putting us together. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, the embryo, the beginnings of life, and all of my days were ordained. The days were formed for me, verse 16, when as yet there were none of them. All of our days were ordained. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, verse 17. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. There's a delight in God. The treasure, how David treasures, how precious to me are your thoughts and how vast is the sum of them. That's the right response to knowing God. Your purposes, your aims, they're my treasure, he says. It's hopeless to count anything that has to do with God. I will never be abandoned. Notice verse 18. I awake and I'm still with you. I wake up and there you are, taking care of me still. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, O men of blood. Depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. I hate what you hate. There's some emotion here. Oh, that you would slay the wicked. Do you get tired? Do you get sad at the enemies of God and the things that go on contrary to him when we know him in this way? As we said, when we know him in a way that we call him Abba, we call him Father. He's tender and loving, and yet he's rejected by so many. Verse 23, he closes, search my heart. Search me, O God. Remember, we started, O Lord, you have searched me. Keep searching. Keep trying. Keep proving. Keep testing. Keep working. Try me and know my thoughts. Continue, Lord, to probe my heart. Show me. Help me to kill all these hindrances, to progress and to submit to your correction and to your direction. See if there is any grievous way in me, that I may walk in the way of everlasting life. It made me think of the passage we closed with this morning, that Paul says that I may know him. I count it all loss that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Just a picture of God, a reminder. We know all of these things, right? Omniscient, omnipresent, wise, his wisdom, his providential care. Are you grateful to God? Do you love God? Do you love God to the point that you respond in praise, adoration, thanksgiving, and devotion? Father, we do thank you. We thank you for what you've done, and we praise you because of who you are. And Lord, we have a hard time separating those. We thank you for inspiring, for giving us kings, at least one king after your own heart, that we might have a record inspired by your Spirit about you. We thank you for prophets. We thank you for all those you've fashioned to record all we need to know about life, about you, and about ourselves. Forgive us in our ingratitude. Keep us focused on the goal where Christ is waiting. In Jesus' name, amen.